now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when I believe that Stormy Daniels has finished her contribution to the ongoing trial of Donald Trump. President Trump had claimed on his social media platform, Truth Social, that they had no advanced knowledge that that Stormy Daniels was going to be giving testimony. And of course they did. They knew she was going to be giving testimony. And she is one of the people who's involved in this tangled tale, and not the only one, but one of the most relevant people about the hush money that she, in fact, received from Donald Trump through Michael Cohen. It's all incredibly complicated, but the claim that they didn't know in advance that that they were somehow treated unfairly, it is the normal practice not to give out lists of witnesses and when they will appear so they don't get harassed. Meanwhile, there continues to be a struggle between Judge Justice Michon and President Trump about this matter of the gag orders, where he has indicated that President Trump is just a few comments away from potentially qualifying for a brief stay under state custody. Trump, arriving at court this morning, made a statement, and he insulted someone or assaulted someone that I don't think they could put him in jail for, because it's everybody's right to criticize the president of the United States, the former president of the United States, and the current president of the United States. So Trump basically blamed Joe Biden for everything that has gone wrong for him recently. This is clip 13.
So with all that's going on, they have no case. Every single legal scholar that I see, I mean, maybe there's somebody out there, some whack job, but the for virtually everyone that I've seen has said there's absolutely no case. It's a case that shouldn't have been brought. The previous DA wouldn't bring it. Brand didn't want to bring it, and he brought it because I'm running in number one place. This all comes out of the White House and crooked Joe Biden. This comes from the White House, and it's all Biden, because it's an attack on his political opponent. That hasn't happened in this country. It does happen in third world countries, but it hasn't happened in this country, and it's a shame. And the trial is a very unfair trial. It's a very, very unfair trial. The good news is they have nothing.
Okay, again, now he gets a little bit more toward the kind of commentary, and particularly if he offers commentary trying to discredit Stormy Daniels after her testimony today, I think he could be in some serious trouble with following the parameters of the gag order that Justice Michon had laid down. The five minutes ago, was it really 5 minutes ago, Jonathan Swan was reporting from inside the courthouse that Trump is still sitting with his eyes closed. Look, some beauty sleep could be important. This is disturbing, and it's right here at home. The University of Washington sign, which is located at the intersection of 45th Street and Memorial Way Northeast, has been covered in red paint in an apparent act of pro-Hamas protest. This is a beautiful part of campus. It's where you drive onto the campus. They have a gigantic W there, and now it's drenched in blood, or at least blood-red paint. Paint beneath the sign appeared to read UN or UW, funded genocide, with red paint dripping from the sign, eventually covering most of the letters. Tags on pillars behind it read, "From the river and to the sea." The idea of these creeps, whoever they are, and I use the term very clinically, they are creeps. They creep in darkness and deface a beautiful university campus. By the way, a campus that is acclaimed by many people as one of the most beautiful in the United States. And I'm very proud that two of our three children are degree holders from a University of Washington. But how utterly appalling. And what is the claim that University of Washington has funded genocide? Is the fact that there are many Jewish students at the University of Washington and Israeli students, and the University of Washington has not done what some of the demonstrators insist upon, which is to divest themselves of any investments with companies that do business with Israel. And it's not just weapons makers that they want to be divested, that they want to be taken out of the portfolio of investments that keep the college operating. They want any company doing business with Israel. Microsoft has a very big presence in the state of Israel. And you can see the buildings there. And the idea that somehow the University of Washington, which has benefited enormously from the tremendous generosity of the Gates family, and this even goes back to the parents of Bill Gates, that they should divest themselves of any help from Microsoft because a bunch of adolescent radicals think that's the right idea. Outrageous. Completely outrageous. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu publicly rejected Hamas's proposal for a deal. All those fake stories yesterday, what it was they said that Hamas had accepted the proposed deal. It wasn't the deal that Israel and the United States has proposed. It was the deal that Qatar and Egypt had proposed, which included a permanent ceasefire, meaning an end of the war. And Israel will not allow this war to end, leaving themselves in a position where they can have new thousands of people who are killed by another assault by Hamas if they are left in power, if those four battalions are left untreated and undealt with and destroyed, frankly, in southern Gaza Strip. Netanyahu publicly rejected Hamas's proposal for a deal that delayed the return of hostages and demanded an end to the war, even as he sent a team to Cairo to discuss further negotiations. The Hamas proposal, the prime minister said, is very far from meeting Israel's requirements. That's what he stated in a video message he delivered this evening. Israel cannot accept a proposal that endangers the security of our nation or our citizens and the future of our country. Meanwhile, more on Ilhan Omar, a Republican member of Congress, a fine congressman, by the way, has introduced a new resolution today to censure squad member Ilhan Omar. Over what? We will get to that and more on the day of Stormy coming up on the MedVet Show.
Daily dose of debate. It's the Michael Medved Show.
I am beyond honored.
Michael Medved Show.
That's, of course, the congresswoman from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, originally from Somalia, now representing the Gopher State in the United States House of Representatives. And she recently, last month, made comments about the differences between anti-genocide and pro-genocide Jewish students. Okay. I mean, I honest to God do not think that there are any, or if there are any, they are very, very rare pro-genocide Jewish students. Most people, other than people on the very, very, very extreme left or the very, very extreme right, are pro-genocide of any kind. And it's a terrible thing to say. She is now has a resolution that came from Don Bacon, a Republican member from Nebraska, who's a fine guy and is able to hold on to his seat in close elections one after another. And he's still there in Congress, and I hope he will still be there for some time to come. He admonished Omar for her history of hateful rhetoric that plays into the worst anti-Semitic tropes. Omar's slanderous comments, he said, against Jewish students could inflame violence against the Jewish community, the resolution warns. Late last month, Omar, who has accused Israel of committing genocide against Palestinians, ventured through Columbia University's campus and toured pro-terror encampments erected by demonstrators. And as she was doing that, she was talking to the camera and had this to say.
Do you think this will translate to the Jewish students who are facing anti-Semitism here on campus?
So I actually met a lot of Jewish students that are in the encampment. And I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide. Daniel.
Okay. Again, she is implying that there are pro-genocide Jewish students. The truth of the matter is all the demonstrators are, by definition, pro-genocide, because Hamas explicitly in its charter favors genocide of the Jewish people as, quote, the final solution to the Palestinian problem. Meanwhile, trying to make up for some of her problems in the past, Representative Omar issued a tweet today saying today on Yom HaShoah, that's a Holocaust Remembrance Day, we remember the 6 million Jews and millions of other innocent victims murdered by the Nazis. We must redouble our efforts to combat anti-Semitism, hate, and bigotry in all forms, and then hashtag never again. Yes, I am sure a member of her staff who is maybe more reasonable than the Congress lady herself helped to compose that particular X contribution, but good for her in any event. Mike Johnson, who has been, he was there today at the event at the Holocaust Museum with President Biden and with Hakeem Jeffries. And by the way, both Biden and Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, and Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, they were all impassioned and very strong on this issue. The idea that they got across was Mike Johnson said that we must protect our Jewish students and we must give our full-throated unequivocal support to the nation of Israel, Johnson said. And we must all of us together call out anti-Semitism and all of its forms without equivocation or without delay. This is our moment. And good for Congressman Johnson, for the Speaker of the House, Speaker Johnson, because it was through his efforts that they got through the aid bill for Israel and for Ukraine and for the embattled democracy of Taiwan. And Hakeem Jeffries, the gentleman from Brooklyn, he's from Crown Heights, which he represents. Congressman Jeffries said the effort to combat anti-Semitism is not a Democratic issue or a Republican issue. It's an American issue. And amen to that. We must crush anti-Semitism along with racism, sexism, Islamophobia, xenophobia, homophobia, and all other forms of hatred together. That's the American way, Congressman Jeffries says. Together, we can defeat anti-Semitism with the fierce urgency of now. There he is, borrowing a phrase from Dr. King. That, said Hakeem Jeffries, is a moral necessity. And the rest of the Washington world, looking at the ongoing testimony, I think it's concluded by now, but a few minutes ago, Susan Netscheles, attorney for Donald Trump, reports in the New York Times, she was walking Stormy Daniels through specifics from her book and gets her to say the one thing she described in the book was incorrect. Daniels sticks to other parts of her story. One key moment was when Netscheles, pushing Daniels about the threat she claims she encountered, challenged her about not telling her baby's father about the alleged threat. This was at a parking lot right after word began to circulate about her having this tryst with Trump. She didn't tell her baby's father about the alleged threat and implied it was made up. Your daughter's life was in jeopardy and you did not tell her father, right? Netscheles said. Meanwhile, some of the details about Stormy Daniels, who knew? When she was in high school, she was able to take some college classes. She is a bright student. She was editor of her school newspaper, and she worked at a horse stable, eventually earning a veterinary scholarship to attend Texas A&M, which she ultimately never ended up attending. I wonder how history would be different if Stormy Daniels had actually become a veterinarian and attended Texas A&M. We'll be right back on the MedVet Show.
Love him.
I love your show.
Or hate him.
Well, I start to think that you're going to start to feel nice. You turn me.
Just keep listening.
I listen to this show 4 hours a day.
To Michael MedVet.
From politics to pop culture and from coast to coast, this is the Michael MedVet Show.
Michael Medved show. To be fair, Stormy Daniels' life did not end when she decided to ignore the veterinary scholarship. She had actually won from Texas A&M, which is obviously a very fine university. Fascinating to me that the first President Bush Library for George Herbert Walker Bush is at Texas A&M. In any event, she started stripping, her biography says, when she was 17, and she began going by Stormy on stage. She eventually moved on to working in adult entertainment, otherwise known as pornography, and has since written and directed for the adult film industry as well. Stormy Daniels says that this is from Tom Jackman of the Washington Post. Stormy Daniels said that after drinking two bottles of water while chatting with Donald Trump, she asked to use the restroom. Okay, they're already in his hotel room. She walked through a bedroom to use the bathroom, and when she emerged from the bathroom, bah! There was Trump on the bed in a T-shirt and boxer shorts. Daniel said she was startled. I wasn't expecting someone to be there, especially minus a lot of clothing, she testified. That's when I had that moment when I felt like the room spun in full motion, and I felt the blood leave my hands and my feet, almost like if you stand up too fast. And everyone has commented on the fact that she apparently testified very quickly. She spoke very quickly. I'm not to make sure that every word can be savored. Oh, my God, what did I misread to get here, she said. Because the intention is pretty clear. Somebody's in their underwear on the bed posing for you. Daniel said Trump stood up between me and the door, not in a threatening manner. Daniel said she told him, I've got to go. He said, I thought we were getting somewhere. We were talking. Daniel said she did not remember many of the subsequent details, saying, I think I blacked out, but that she was not drugged or drunk. Next thing I know, I was on the bed, Daniels claimed, the opposite side of the bed from where he'd been standing. I had my clothes and shoes off. We were in a missionary position. She testified that she didn't remember how her clothes came off. Well, she started stripping when she was 17. She would probably know something about how they came off. But she did recall, I was staring at the ceiling. I didn't know how I got there. I was trying to think about anything other than how I got there. Daniel said Trump did not wear a condom and that they didn't discuss that at all. I didn't say anything at all, she said. The encounter was brief. After a 15-minute break in the testimony of adult film actress Stormy Daniels, New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan said prosecutors were getting into too many details and should move faster. The degree of detail you are going into here is just unnecessary, said Merchan, adding that jurors didn't need to know the color of the floor in the hotel room where Daniels said she spent an evening with Donald Trump in 2006. When Daniels returns to the stand, the judge said the people, meaning the prosecution side, need to move along. This again from Tom Jackman, Washington Post. Stormy Daniels said that after she swatted Donald Trump with a magazine, she said it, she sat back down and the conversation was improved. Nothing will improve a conversation like swatting your interlocutor with a magazine. Until Trump grew quiet and said he got an idea that I should be on his television show, The Apprentice. Now, wait. This is right after she swatted him on the rump with a magazine? She should go on his television show, The Apprentice. I said, there's no way they'd ever let me on television. No way NBC would let an adult actress on TV. I said, you don't have that much power. Oh, she's daring Trump. Trump said that he did have that power, and the Daniels reminded him of his daughter, Ivanka. Ouch. She's smart and blonde and beautiful. The way he framed it actually made perfect sense. It was all about PR things, the spin. He's like, this would really shake things up. You could go on my show and prove you're not just a dumb bimbo. You're smarter than people think. And he'd get a lot of attention for this crazy idea. Daniel said, she replied, I'm not a business person. I don't have that education. There's no way I could win. She said, Trump told her, what if I tell you what the challenges are a reference to the tasks contestants completed on the show The Apprentice. Kind of like what he did with pro wrestling. You know what they are. She said, Trump told her, I have control. I can give somebody an edge to make sure you could at least make a good showing. She never did get to appear on the show. Trump was arrogant, says the headline, in a somewhat flirty dinner in the hotel room, Stormy Daniels says. A dinner with Donald Trump at his hotel room in 2006 was playful, but also irritating because Trump was arrogant and kept trying to steal the conversation, Stormy Daniels testified. Daniels told jurors that she had had enough of his arrogance as he repeatedly tried to one-up her. I'm sorry, how are you not able to one-up an adult film star? She said she asked him, are you always this rude? Are you always this arrogant and pompous? You don't even know how to have a conversation, Daniel said she told Trump at dinner after meeting him at a celebrity golf tournament in Lake Tahoe. I said, someone should spank you, Daniels testified. So he rolled up the magazine and dared me to do it. So he gave me to it, meaning I gave her the magazine, and I swatted him right there on his butt. After that, she said the conversation was improved. He was much more polite. Okay, just a little bit more to give you a flavor of this. After an associate convinced her that she should accept Donald Trump's invitation to dinner after they met in 2006, Stormy Daniels arrived at Trump's hotel room to find him in silk or satin pajamas, she said. I immediately made fun of him, she said, using a reference to Playboy founder Hugh Hefner. She said she asked him, does Mr. Hefner know you stole his pajamas? Trump then changed into regular clothes and returned, she testified. Still speaking in a rapid-fire clip, Daniels described sitting down with Trump at a dining room table. It wasn't even dark outside just yet, Daniels said. I took a seat and we started talking about how she grew up poor in Louisiana and how she got involved in the adult entertainment business. He was very interested in how I segued from being a porn star to writing and directing adult movies. This New York Times reports court is adjourned. This means, you remember when Gerald Ford said, our long national nightmare is over? That was after President Nixon resigned. When will this national nightmare be over so we can all take a nice, refreshing cold shower? Meanwhile, there are more highlights of cross-examination where Daniels is challenged by Trump's legal team. We'll bring you what happened there, plus some statements, shocking statements by a rock star, a real rock star, Roger Waters of Pink Floyd, coming up on The Michael Medved Show.
This is going to be a little bit provocative.
The Michael Medved Show.
I don't know what year that Pink Floyd selection was recorded, but Roger Waters is still putting out the hits. He had a direct hit in favor of campus protesters. Of course, he is a very, very well-known, not just a critic of Israel, but a hater of Israel and of Jewish people in general. And Roger Waters, who was in Barbados just a few days ago, put forward these sentiments about the campus protesters, suggesting not only his support, but the basis for his support and his pride in what they were doing. Roger Waters, they've talked various times. I know at one point he was supposed to do a concert, and I think he did perform a concert in Israel and did not get an enthusiastic response in a nation that he believes should no longer exist. Here he is from Barbados.
On the campuses of the universities. That is where the battle is being fought now. Maybe only for the next few days, but certainly for the next. And it's crucially important. So yes, we're very proud of you in Newcastle and almost certainly Edinburgh and all over the United Kingdom. Now, in New York City, they've mobilized the NYPD as a proper fascist Gestapo force to go in and not just harass, but arrest and handcuff and physically damage the protesters. And the protesters are not going anywhere. So Colombia, my heart and soul is with you in your fight for freedom. Not just the freedom of the Palestinian people, but our freedom. This is the big moment. This is the moment when we, the people, stand up and say, nada más. We are not going anywhere. And you know why? Because unlike you and your jackboots, we believe in democracy and the rule of law.
Okay, he believes in democracy and the rule of law is practiced by Hamas. Which basically has only one way of dealing with its opponents and its critics, which is killing them. The sound of pro-Hamas demonstrators was also visible, and this is clip three, Jeremy. Joe Wilson, a Republican congressman from South Carolina, he's the one who became world famous because during a speech, President Obama was giving about Obamacare, which I will never forget because I was in the gallery. I was happened to be at the House of Representatives that day, and Joe Wilson interrupted President Obama and said, "You lie." In any event, he got interrupted himself. He was expressing his concern about anti-Semitism on college campuses, and good for him. He does not come from a heavily or represent a heavily Jewish district. And he started trying to explain Hamas's charter during a hearing with Education Secretary Miguel Cardona. And it sounded like this.
From the river to the sea, that's just the code for murder of the people of Israel. And we know that the Hamas covenant of August 18, 1988 provides Section 7, that you chase every Jew behind a rock and tree until you find the last Jew, and then with the last Jew behind a rock, you... Let me restate and make clear, because all of God's children should know, and that is that Section 7 of the Hamas covenant calls for chasing every Jew behind a rock or tree until you find the last Jew behind a rock and you kill him. And so it should be known by all Americans, and this should not be misunderstood. With that, I yield back.
And that idea about Jews having to hide behind rocks and trees, that's actually taken from the Quran, or it may be from the Hadith, which is the commentary on the Quran. In any event, it is a scriptural reference in the Hamas charter, a scriptural reference not to the Bible, of course, but to the Holy Quran and its commentaries. Meanwhile, another member of the House, Elise Stefanik, the same one who gave such a grilling to those university presidents, considered a potential vice presidential nominee for President Trump, certainly preferable, I think most people would agree at this point, to Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota. More on her later. But she gave a press conference today on Capitol Hill and said this about the college protesters.
Our country is unrecognizable, and the American people know it. Once acclaimed, colleges and universities have turned into chaos, fallen to brainwashed anti-Semitic groupthink, canceling commencements. Instead of protecting Jewish students, Joe Biden has pandered to the pro-Hamas wing of the Democrat Party. And campus leadership has shamefully followed suit, negotiating with these pro-Hamas terrorists and submitting to their demands, following Joe Biden's pattern of appeasement. These apologists for the anti-Semitic mob have turned the Democrat Party into the party of pro-Hamas, a party that defends calls for death to America heard across American campuses.
Okay, that's unfair. I mean, it's completely unfair, especially given the fact that earlier this week, President Biden spoke out strongly against the campus protesters and just gave a remarkably strong speech together with Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, and the Democratic leader of the House, Hakeem Jeffries. And the difficulty here is that the effort to make anti-Semitism, the effort to make these radicals who drape themselves in keffiyehs and Palestinian flags, which of course are just replicas of the Jordanian flag with a little star in it. By the way, that flag was only adopted in 1955, because before that, Palestinians did not consider themselves a separate nationality. They considered themselves South Syrians, they were often referred to, and many of the people who claimed to be Palestinian refugees actually were born and raised in Egypt or in Syria, and only recently had come to that part of the world because of the economic activity that the Jewish people who had arrived recently were there. Meanwhile, the cross-examination of Stormy Daniels is not over. No, they're taking a break. They're taking a break. But they will be back for more cross-examination on Thursday. Meanwhile, you have time before that begins to check out our brand new Substack piece, What Do Palestinian Flags on College Campuses Really Signify About the Demonstrators? and Jeremy is teasing me by spelling Palestinian wrong, as the demonstrators did on the steps of Columbia University. No, it's Palestinian. What do those Palestinian flags signify? Do they signify sympathy for the Palestinians? If so, fine. Or do they attempt to express solidarity, which means a different point entirely? What is the Palestinian project? What is it that they want? If you support or feel solidarity with Palestinians, does that mean you share the urge that they have, and that is part of their charter, to liquidate the state of Israel? And the idea that that liquidation would obviously ignore the fate of the more than 2 million Palestinians who live in Israel as citizens, let alone if you're fighting for divestment, if you're fighting for economic damage to Israel, how does that help the people in Gaza, who are going to need as much help as they can possibly get from every source they possibly can to rebuild after the nightmare, not of Israeli invasion, but of 20 years of Hamas rule? We have done better, thank God, in this great